Welcome to Sling Stones, a podcast with insights for the Christian journey. On behalf of all of us at Sling Stones and the whole Healing Care family, we want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. We pray that you may reflect over this past year where you have seen the goodness of God in the land of the living, and that you may see that He is good and that all He does is good. And now your host, Terry Wardle.
This topic has been on my mind for several weeks now, actually, and because we've touched it before, I kind of wrestled as to whether or not I should spend some time on it again. And yet something inside of me kept urging me on. And so I'm going to just step out by faith, cover some material that we've looked at some time ago, but do it in a new way. Because just possible, there are some people out there that need to hear this. And I'll trust the Lord on this as I move forward. And it has to do with two scriptures that are very similar. One comes from the Old Testament. The other one comes from the New Testament. And they have to do with the issue of forgiveness. So the New Testament passage is really familiar. It comes in 1 John chapter 1. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and He is just, and He will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a great text. We've held to that as Christians because we have this faith and this belief that as we cry out to God in the midst of our brokenness, He comes and He cleanses us from our sins. Well, there's a similar passage of Scripture that comes in Jeremiah chapter 33. That passage of Scripture begins with verse 6. God saying to His people, I will bring health and healing. I will heal my people, and I will let them enjoy peace and security. I'll bring them back from their captivity. I will cleanse them from all the sin they have committed against me, and I will forgive all of their sins. Again, we see this cleansing and forgiveness. That's pretty important. So let's just talk for a minute about the forgive side of that equation. This is God saying to us that I know you've done wrong, and I know that wrong is not only going to hurt you, but there is also an eternal consequence of that wrong. But then God says this, but I will forgive you. I will not hold that offense against you. It'll be as if it didn't occur. In terms of our relationship, there will be no barriers. There will be no offense. And as it says in Jeremiah 31, 34, I will remember your sin no more. Now remember, the way I define sin and my understanding of it from Scripture for a Christian is the failure to live out of who we are in Christ. That we're just not aligned. We're not walking the way of Jesus the way Jesus would have us walk the way. Our behavior doesn't in any way line up with the confession of our heart. It was Miroslav Volf who had this interesting little movement. He said, when it comes to sin, number one, sin needs to be confessed. We need to say, yes, this is not the way of Christ. I'm not walking according to the virtues and values of the kingdom. It is an admission. A recognition, if you will. And then we need to know that this behavior is worthy of being condemned. It's unrighteous. It's contrary to the way of God. But then Miroslav Volf says that once we've confessed and we recognize that it is something that can be condemned in our behavior, God is willing to forgive us. Again, set it aside. Not let that offense build between us. And then Volf says he does this amazing act of he puts it behind his back. He doesn't remember it anymore. He's not going to bring it up in the future. As we slip and skin our knees, bloody our nose in the future, God's not going to go back and remind us of something we've done in the past once he's forgiven it. This is amazing. And it's one of the great acts of the kingdom of God that he is willing to forgive us like this. But then the scripture goes on and says that he'll not only forgive us, but he's willing to cleanse us. I have an image that comes to mind. Imagine that every time we fail to live according to the virtues and values of the kingdom, every time we don't walk the way of Jesus the way Jesus walked the way, we're not living out of who we are in Christ, every time that occurs, imagine that we're splashing, this mud up on ourselves. Every offense, every sin, and all of a sudden, we're completely splattered. I wonder if you can capture that image. Boy, in light of all the sin that I've done in my life, I would be completely covered. Now imagine that there's two dimensions to this, that not only when you sin is it an offense between you and God, but also you get, if you will, splattered by this. But what God is saying to us is that not only will he now not hold this against us, but he'll completely cleanse us. He'll wash it away. This is an amazing promise. But here's what I want to say, that for many of us, and maybe this is the reason that I'm compelled to talk about this again, and I'm one of these many of us, we count on the fact that God has forgiven us, but many times we walk through life as though we're still covered with what we've done in the past. No, God's not holding it against us, but we still wear it. And it brings a lot of shame to our lives, and it burdens us, and it distorts, if you will, our very image of ourselves. And this is one of the reasons that I think Scripture is saying to us that God does this great act in our lives, that he forgives us, removing that offense and all the payment and punishment that would go along with it. But he also cleanses us so that we don't have to carry it. It doesn't define us. It's not the way he looks at us, and certainly it's not the way that he wants us to look at ourselves. Forgiven and cleansed. I think those are two really important concepts for us in our day-to-day life. I know I struggle at times. Boy, the evil one can bring up the things I've done in the past, and it's sad. The places where I failed to live out of who I really am in Christ. And you know what the Word of God is saying is that God forgives us, puts that behind his back, doesn't bring it up anymore, and then he washes us so that we don't have to continue to carry that. Now, if you think about that, this is overwhelmingly good news. And it's something that we need to ask the Lord to help us get in our minds, in our hearts, in our guts, that this is how we are before him, forgiven, and we are cleansed. Now, you know, the question begs to be answered, why in the world would God do this? Why would he forgive us and why would he cleanse us? And I think first, it's evidence of the fact that God just loves us. He loves his children. He doesn't want us to be burdened down in this way. And he doesn't want this to be in any way a definition of who we are. Because deep inside, he has planted the seeds of wonder. And he knows that we can get so burdened down, carrying the offense, and believing that we are deeply marred and shamed because of the things that we have done in the past. God loves you. And that love causes him to want to be in relationship with you. This is not just a transaction, a legal transaction. This is about God wanting to be in union with you, loving you, caring for you. It's also a statement of God's nature. It's in God's nature to show mercy. It's in God's nature to forgive. It's in God's nature to extend grace. Many of us have grown up in settings where God was actually used as a means of behavior modification. And we were warned about God's anger and God's wrath. And it almost creates this caricature of God as an ogre in the sky who is anxious, if you will, to bring punishment to bear for our mistakes. But that is so contrary to what Scripture shows us in Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave Jesus. And Christ says, I did not come into this world to condemn, but to give life. And so we can receive and have received this forgiveness and this cleansing because God loves us and because it's part of his very nature to be so generous. It's also about Jesus. Scripture talks about it in Hebrews, about the fact that we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how powerful this forgiveness is. And there's not one of us that would ever want to say that our sin is more powerful than the sacrifice of Christ. Whatever our sin has been, the power of the sacrifice of Christ is all the greater. And it's something that I think we need to really lean into in our day-to-day lives, because it's so easy for the evil one to bring up the things that have happened in the past and to try to get us to wear them. Even though we can hold on to the fact that God has forgiven us, we begin to think that this is what defines us, and that is not what Scripture is saying to us. You are forgiven. You are cleansed. It may be today that you're wrestling with this very point. Maybe that's part of the reason that I felt compelled to talk about this today. And you need to hear those words from God, that his forgiveness and his cleansing have grown out of his incredible love for you, and that the sacrifice of Christ is so great that you can now be in this deep relationship with God. And he won't bring these things up, no matter how many times the evil one or you or others do. I know that I mentioned this passage of Scripture once before, but it is a bit of amazing. It's in Jeremiah chapter 50. The prophet is talking about a time out in the future. And he says, this is what God declares about that time. People will search for Israel's guilt, but there will be none. They will look for the sins of Judah, and none will be found, because I will forgive the remnant. Well, we are part of that remnant. And people can search. And they can look hard for guilt and sin. And yet, because of Christ, we are free. Isn't this an amazing message? One that I pray that God links into our hearts episodically today. The seeds of Christ were planted in you on the very first day you came to Jesus. And all that wonder can come forth in him. And what you have done in the past doesn't define you. And in fact, before God, it can't even be found. You are forgiven and you are cleansed. I hope you hold that truth today. Remember, God's face, his face is shining on you.
Inside I'm black as coal and as cold as a winter storm. Been gone for far too long and I can't find my way back home. I'm too close to know what's fake and I can't tell what is real. And I don't trust how I feel. No, I can't trust how I feel. Yeah.
It's a mess I'm living in, and I can't tell why I'm here. And I don't trust how